I can go back to a recollection when I wanted to preach. I was about 10 years old at Old Providence Church. But I thought that it would just be something great, and that would be the end of it. I thought it would. But pretty soon, about 18, around 20 years old, I began to feel like I was going to have to do it. There's a vast difference, brother, than wanting to do something and feeling impressed. Yes, sir, I began to feel impressed. And then, I want to tell you, I began to tell God I wasn't fit. I didn't know. I was unlearned. I had no education. No, sir. And I tried to back out on everything. But you be sure of this, brother, when he called you, I'm going to tell you, you're going to answer. Just as sure in this life into a practical duty, just as sure as you're going to answer in the morning of the resurrection, you'll go with me to John. I believe it's a chapter, I don't know what verse, but it said that the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. That's the way the dead's going to rise. That's the way that you're going to rise and take up your cross and follow him someday. Because I have a text that's perfectly fit for that, and it reads like this. It said, being confident, brethren, of this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you might kick, yes, I got drunk, I done everything in the world to try to forget the fact that I must try to preach. But I want to tell you, if you're here tonight, be sure of the fact that won't help a thing in the world. I know, sir, it surely won't. Those friends that I had back down there in the beginning, when I felt like that I ought to unite with the church, I had some of the best friends, I thought, worldly friends that in this world, but I had to leave them. Yes, sir, I had to bid farewell to them. Brothers and sisters, it's hard to do, but don't think for a moment that you'll ever be satisfied once that God tells you, sir, to come out from among them and be you separate. And he will receive you. I'm going to tell you, he's going to perform the work. He certainly is. And you'll thank God the day two when it's over. Oh yeah, we'll say, I won't do that. I'll rebel. That's all right. You go right ahead in your experience. Brothers and sisters, when he calls you, you'd better answer because it'll save you a lot of trouble. Now let's go on with the thoughts here. He said here, whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. And what shall we say to these things? That if God be for us, who can be against us? The world might turn against you. I'm going to tell you that if God loves you once, he'll always love you. He certainly will. There's no way in the world that you could walk out of his love. In an eternal sense, that's what I'm talking about. In the eternal sense. Sure, you can walk back into the beggarly elements of this world, but any time you do, sir, there's going to be a condemnation within that you can't live with. I'll guarantee you that. I've done tried it, so I would advise you not to try it. I know, sir. Moreover, let's go on down here. And he says, who shall separate us from the love of love of Christ? Shall tribulations? I told you a while ago, and I believe I quoted the text at the beginning, that the old prophet said that the Lord had appeared to him, saying he had loved him with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have he drawn you. Now he said here, sir, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Be sure of that. If the Bible says that if we say that we're justified by the law, then we're fallen from grace. And that's where some of the people of this world gets the idea that though you can be saved by grace and then fall and be eternally lost, that never was so. Either it's either true or God is false. I'm not going to have that. I'm going to say that God is just, and if he loves you, he loved you with an everlasting love. Somebody might say, well, what does it mean? It just simply means what it said. Did you notice? Maybe you overlooked something. It said, if you say that you're justified by the law, that simply means that if you think that you can be justified by something you do or say or act, I'm going to tell you, then you don't have any use for grace. I know, sir, but this Bible abundantly proves that by grace are you saved through faith. and that not. Did you get that? They'll tell you, yes, it's by grace, but you've got to have a faith that never was so. Listen to the text. It says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. And that's God's words. That grace and faith is not of you. I know, sir, not of works, lest any man should boast. So then, that grace and that faithfulness of Almighty God is the thing under consideration. So then, you can easily see, if you think you're justified by works, then you don't need this grace. I know, sir. In other words, you've fallen from it. You have no confidence in it. That's exactly what it means. But brethren, I want to tell you, sir, that you're saved by grace. You certainly are, by sovereign grace. So then, he said here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, shall distress, persecutions, famines, nakedness, perils, swords? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Who was it that loved us? It was God. And so then, for I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels nor principalities nor power, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now that's the way it is. I told you that I didn't sit down and I wouldn't have to take anything back. I won't. That's the way it is. Thank God for a God like that. Wonderful, isn't it? I've got one more short thought. I'm going to present and leave it with you. Now then, if God loved us to the end that he saved us with an everlasting salvation through sovereign grace, somebody say, well, and it's even taught here in the world today that when this body dies, God, that it will just vanish and cease to be, and God will prepare another body into which the spirit will live in the morning of the resurrection. That never was so either. I know, sir, it surely isn't. I'll tell you just exactly what the Bible said. Now then, I want you to notice this text. God said the creature itself, he's talking about the man in his entirety, or the woman, or the child of his. I don't care who it is. He's a child of God. I want you to watch him. He says the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Now let's look and see how that simply means that it's going to be delivered, if you please, from the grave. It certainly will. Now then, it's going to be this same body, if you please, that lives in glory with God. Only in a different kind. And I'll prove that with 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. It says it's sown. That is this body. It's sown. It dies. It's buried. A natural body. It's the same body referring to. It is raised a spiritual body. So then, it's going to be the same body, but different in kind. Isn't it wonderful, sir, that we're looking forward to a day in which we'll be free from sin? Yes, sir, we'll be justified. That's exactly what I've just read to you. That he did, whom he did follow, then he also justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. And I'm going to tell you, we haven't experienced that final glorification, but we will in the morning of the resurrection. One more thought in it. This Bible said that God will, in the morning of the resurrection, he will raise this body by the same Spirit. If you please, that's well pretended tonight. Yes, sir, when I step off the stage of action in this life, and when I press that dying pillow, my Spirit, the Spirit of God that's within us, it's going to go back to God who gave it. It certainly will. That's what the Bible teaches. And God will, by that same Spirit, in the morning of the resurrection, quicken this mortal body and raise it up. And Paul said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I want to assure you, sir, that there will be no family circle broken over there. There surely will not be. There's going to be a reuniting, yes, sir, in that great morning of the resurrection. So be assured of the fact that if your hope is in God, you'll live in heaven in immortal glory, just as certain as there is a God. That's wonderful, isn't it? There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No, sir, there is not. There's no condemnation. But we're free from that through the works of Almighty God. Do you have a song you'd like to sing? Sing? There's one or more here. Has it? Number what?
If there's a one or more here has a desire to unite with the church, you feel perfectly free to come and make your wants known, and these brethren here will gladly hear you. Let us stand while we sing. Number what? 96. Number 96. Number 96. Let us stand and sing.
For weak and worthless though I am, I have the riches of mighty friend. Jesus the Savior is his name. He freely loves and without end. He ransomed me from hell with blood, and by his power my full control. He found me wandering far from God, and brought me to his chosen fold. He cheers my heart, my wants supply, and said that I shall shortly be enthroned with him out of the sky. Oh, what a friend is Christ to me. May he by this time carry me then his good from above, name our communication sweet.